Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pick and Pop Podcast, episode 8 of season 1. We started a trend last week. Craig Freeman's with me, as always, each and every week. Episode 7 last week, we dubbed it the Thonmaker episode, with it being number 7, of course. Thonmaker wears number 7. We're seeing a little bit of a trend here, because episode 8, it's the Delhi episode, but and it's great timing, because Delhi is well and truly back in the news in the NBA, but it's like old Delhi now. It's not even current Delhi.
Yeah, they couldn't quite make it work to get to episode 18. They didn't want to hold that long. I actually called him up and said, could you please just give it a little bit of a break until at least episode 8, and we managed to get that through, so I did the best I could. We'll settle for 8.
Well, he obviously posted on his Twitter and his Instagram and stuff like that once he was announced back in Cleveland. He did the old dodgy Photoshop, just posted his old Delhi Cavs 8 jersey and just drew a 1 onto it.
It wasn't even a Photoshop, didn't he? Just put some tape
over
the top
and
wrote it on.
Or tape, something like that.
Classic. When you turn up on a Wednesday night to suit up for domestic and two players have the same number.
That's what he did. That's
the old classic tape.
He just went back to his roots when they had, you know, Tuesday night at Maryborough. He thought, oh, geez, someone else is wearing 8. Well, I'll just make mine 18 or 81. So simple as that. There you go. The old Delhi episode, this one is episode 8. As always, you can hit us up, pickandroll.com.au. Every Tuesday evening, we like to get this up each week. iTunes is the best place to get it. Search the Pick and Pop, subscribe, rate 5 stars, drop us a line, drop us a comment. And if you wanted to ask us some questions or, you know, brag about something that you did in the Aussie Hoops world or, you know, provide a statement for us, hit us up on Twitter, Craig.
Yeah, you can find us at @CP_Chalmers or @CFreeman, @SEEFreeman on Twitter. We'd love to hear all your feedback and comments. Also, use the hashtag PNRPod, PNRPOD, to get in touch.
Hey, listen, we've got a stack of stuff to get through on today's podcast. Obviously, Light It Up kicks us off. Sydney Uni Flames get a big go on that. We look at Brisbane in the NBL. Who's the best player in the NBL this season? I find that a fascinating topic at the moment. Obviously, we covered Dally and his big trade. Xavier Cooks, Cam Healy, and Arlis Hurst. 3 big names we're going to touch on. And of course, we finish it off with I Just Want It and So Funky. So let's kick it off with Light It Up. Light It Up. Well, there's heaps of people who lit it up in the NBL and WNBL this week. We start off with Lamar Patterson, the newest import into the NBL, hooked up with the Brisbane Bullets not too long ago, had one massive game and then one game which he was certainly very well amongst the team, securing a big road win over Melbourne. But first, they did the job over United up in Brizzy. 33 points. And what was most amazing about that, it was 11 of 14 from the field, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, got the W in Melbourne, but then he backed it up.
Yeah, he had 17 points and 8 rebounds on the road. Didn't take this man long to get his feet set in the league, and he is showing why he is one of the best imports in the competition right now.
Certainly has. Andrew Bogut, you called it. He probably had one of his more subpar games in his opening game of the weekend, but he bounced back in a big way over in New Zealand. 23 points, 16 rebounds and 2 blocks, getting the 1-point win over the Breakers. Hey, the WNBL, there were some big performances this week, and it all started with Lauren Nicholson.
Yeah, she went back-to-back with big performances this round. 26 points, 7 boards, 3 assists in a W against Sydney Uni. And then backed that up with 23 points, 4 boards in a W against Townsville. 2 good wins and 2 awesome games for Nicholson in Adelaide.
And I tell you what, this has been a long time coming, because she was obviously playing with Sydney Uni, and she was, you know, towards the end of the bench, but she has a bright future. And Cheryl Chambers, who had her in Sydney, certainly saw a bright spark in Lauren Nicholson, was probably unhappy to lose her, actually, when she went to Adelaide. And, you know, she's just reaping the rewards at the moment. Hey, Asia Taylor was my tip for the WNBL's MVP this season. And I'll tell you what, she helped her claim this week, didn't she, Craig?
Yeah, 33 points, 9 boards and 5 steals in a W against Bendigo. And then that takes us to the Sydney Uni Flames, who, well, we've talked about them 2 weeks in a row now. They're stringing some form Together, they had a number of good performances on the weekend.
Well, I think they're 2-11 now, but this was the game that they were not supposed to win. They were going up against arguably the WNBL Championship favourites, the Melbourne Boomers, in Melbourne, Fox Sports game. The eyes were certainly on these two teams. Shanae Greaves, former Melbourne Boomer, had played a number of seasons there. She started for the Flames this past week. 14 points on 7 of 9 field goals. Certainly a massive game from Shanae Greaves. Talia Tupaia led the team with 21 points and 4 steals. Had the last 4 points in the game. They just dug deep. They dug hard. Cheryl Chambers, just really great coach. Probably out-coached Guy Malloy on the game. I know the commentators certainly made mention of that as well. And Tupaia led from the front. Belinda Snell just continues to do what she does. 14 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists. And, of course, another ex-Boomer, Britt Smart, had a double-double. But they were down and out. They were not meant to win. They just ground and grind and everything. And in the way, everything went their way in the final 3 or so minutes. There were some wide-open shots that Melbourne missed. Sydney went down the other end and hit a couple of tough buckets. But that's just what you had to do. If you want to win some games in the WNBL, that's exactly what you've got to do.
Yeah, and you called it last week. You said they'd make their way up the ladder, and looking at their schedule, we thought it'd be tough, but grabbing a win like that obviously makes it a lot easier. They still have to claw their way back a couple of games just to reach the next, but looking much stronger in the second half of the season.
Huge win. And finally, Mariana Tolo, we have to touch on her in Light It Up. She made a wonderful return back from a serious layoff with injury. 23 points off the bench in 21 minutes. So a big congrats to her. Hey, listen, the NBL is really kicking into gear mid-season at the moment. The Brisbane Bullets have been struggling for the last number of years since their return into the NBL. They defeated Melbourne on back-to-back occasions this past weekend. They're sitting in fourth right now with a 7-6 record. Are they the real deal?
I don't want to take all the credit, but I did pick them as my surprise team for this year. It's taken a little bit longer than I would have liked, but I just loved how much talent they had on that lineup. And, you know, Alonzo G out, Lamar Patterson in is looking like an upgrade. They've got some boomers on that team that are a great supporting cast, and they've got the stars to hold it all together at the moment. They're so tough to guard on the offensive end, and they look like they've got their stuff sorted out on the other end. Hodgie's playing pretty well inside. Bairstow is really good, and he's just going to keep getting better and better each week as he gets healthier. Right now, I'd be surprised if they're not playing finals.
I'm so glad you touched on those two specific names, Matt Hodgson and Cam Bairstow. Probably at the start of the season, there was some pressure on Hodgson because he made the move from Adelaide. Cam Bairstow was coming back from injury and started the season off really slowly and was somewhat disappointing. But those two have really hit their strides right now, and they're pacing the team. Obviously, we've seen guys like Jason Gadie and Cam Glidden be the real focal points of the Bullets in the early parts of the season. But the Adlamar Patterson in, and it's all sticking together. And I think the real big one is how good can Ruben Tarangi be off the bench, providing that punch. And he could be a real finals X factor if they make it all the way.
Yeah, just a man who loves the big moment as well. We saw him drill a buzzer beater last night as they took on Melbourne. He is a great six man. He's a guy who can fill up the stat sheet pretty quickly. And a new point guard supposedly is on the way. Does that move Kadee to the bench? And if that's the case, you could have three of the best bench players in the league right there.
Well, that's right. Jason Gadie could be more than serviceable bench player. Obviously, with Stephen Holt being released over the past 2 weeks, a new import is supposedly on the way. And as you mentioned, it's meant to be a point guard that is of reasonable talent, mind you. And then you look even further down the list. Mika Vekona, an absolute champion of the game. Just he goes about it the right way, and the perfect person to have in any squad. I'm sure the other 7 teams would love to have 5 or 6 Mika Vekonas on their list.
Yeah, and they're also very well coached and starting to string some consistent games together. I think they just have a good recipe to win games at the moment on both ends of the floor, and they're going to be dangerous.
Go to the flip side of the ladder. We're talking about the Cairns Taipans. 1-10 at the moment, sitting dead last. A lot of talk about the Taipans is through Mallow Trimble and how he's wowed the NBL in his debut professional season coming out of college. But why does no one talk about DJ Newbill? He's played 10 games averaging 15 points per game, 6.3 rebounds, over 2.5 assists, and nearly 2 steals a game, started in 9 of those 10 games. He is a genuine NBL star. He showed it in New Zealand when he played next to Edgar Sosa, who arguably took a little bit of his limelight away there, and now he's doing nearly the exact same thing against next to Mallow Trimble.
Yeah, my big issue right now is if these guys are both as good as a lot of people think they are, why are they not winning games? You've got two of the best players in the competition. Cairns have been, I was going to say up and down, but they've really been down all season. They've got a game coming up against the Breakers in the next round. I think they could win that one on the home deck. They need to win it. But the problem right now is they need these two to play like absolute superstars. It is his second year in the NBL for Newbill. He's a very good player. Hasn't shot the ball that well. He's shooting it just over 40% from the field, but they need to get some help. He's been great, and Trimble's a little more exciting. I think that's why he gets talked about a little more.
I'd love to deep dive into some of the Cairns statistics, like Newbill's plus minus, maybe Newbill next to Trimble, how their bench and their second unit come on. Maybe that's where they're struggling. I'm not too sure. I don't have the answers at the moment off the top of my head, but certainly could be a good little research piece just to see whether DJ Newbill and Mallow Trimble in that sense, whether their case stacks up in comparison to the rest of the NBL, and maybe work out why or where the Cairns Taipans are going wrong. Last one on the NBL. I mentioned it at the top of the pod. Who is the best player in the NBL this season so far? And there's obviously been a big debate, and there's a number of great players in the NBL this season, but I just thought, let's keep it simple, because I thought it would be a really great question, you know, eight rounds in. Who is the best player thus far this season?
I think it's Andrew Bogut, probably pretty easily. On both ends of the floor, he's been an absolute monster defensively. He is one of the best, he's the best defensive player I think we might have ever had in the NBL at this point.
Does that mean if the season ended today, you would believe that Andrew Bogut would be given the league's most valuable player award?
Yeah, I'd probably give him MVP and defensive player of the year right now. He has been brilliant on both ends of the floor. He's absolutely dominating. His fantasy stats are insane as well, like unheard of. He's dominating week in, week out. We just said he had a bad game and he still put up like 40 fantasy points, which for those who play is a lot. I think he's the best player in the league. Does he win MVP? How does the voting system work this year?
So it's obviously changed from years past. I think there's a panel of 20 or 30 members that decide to... it might be a panel of 20 that puts up a list of 30 players where, therefore, the coach, the head coach, the assistant coach, and the captain of each NBL club then vote 3, 2, and 1 for on that list of X amount of players, and you obviously can't vote for someone in your team.
So a system like that probably helps Bogut because his overall impact on the game is so great, and I think players and coaches in the league definitely would appreciate what he does on and off the ball, on and off the court. Whereas, you know, a system in the past might, where it might be game to game voting, probably helps teams that only have one superstar and they're picking up lots of easy votes, or it's probably helped Cotton in the past where he hasn't had as many flashy teammates around him. But with the voting system as it is this season, I think Bogut's got to be the hot favourite right now. Overall impact has been great. He hasn't missed any games yet, and he's getting it done on both ends of the floor, which captains and coaches I think will appreciate.
I think surrounding Bogut, there's probably a number of players in say, Bryce Cotton, Mallow Trimble maybe, Casper Ware could be around abouts after his... a slow start to the season. Nick Kay has come from nowhere to be an absolute beast in the NBL. Nathan Sobey could be up there and aroundabouts in discussions.
Boone's dropped off a fair bit this year in those conversations.
Absolutely, has he dropped off. On that question, maybe question 1A, has the gap closed from the very best players, the top one or two, to the next batch? Obviously, last year we had guys like Bryce Cotton and Demetrius Conger that were probably one and two, and then there was a slight gap, or maybe Randall was right there with them as well, and then there was a little drop to the next. Has that gap closed and there's a really big bunch of guys right at the top?
In my opinion, the gap from 1 to 2 is probably bigger, but the gap from 2 to 10 or 2 to 20 is probably smaller than it has been last. I think probably the last few years you could make a real case that Casper or Cotton or Conger last year or Randall in years past have basically been interchangeable in the top 4 or 5, and then after that group there's been a fair drop-off. Whereas this year, I think, well, in my opinion anyway, I think Bogut is pretty solidly the best player in the league. And then maybe the next group, I don't think they've gotten worse. I think the rest of the competition might have gotten a little better. We've talked about Nick Kay coming and rising into that group and other players of that ilk. Sobey has gotten better this season as well. I think the rest of the competition is bunched up. Bogut is, in my opinion, a fair bit better, but the rest of the grouping is closed up a little bit.
Was that something you expected at the start of the season, for Bogut to be substantially at the top of the pile?
Well, I thought he'd be the best player, but I wasn't sure his counting stats would show it as much as it has. Right. He's been dominating on the box score and off the box score. I thought maybe he wouldn't score or maybe grab as many rebounds or block as many shots as people expected, but he has been doing that.
Massive commodity for the NBL has Andrew Bogut been this season. Hey, Matthew Dellavedova. We mentioned him at the start of the podcast, episode 8, it's the Dally podcast, even though he's number 18 now. He's moved from Milwaukee back to the Cavs, and I tell you what, you'll touch on what the actual details of the trade was, but the reception he received when he was still in street clothes, he wasn't suited up for his first game, but he was in Cleveland with the team, the reception he received when the Cavs had their next home game was unbelievable. I could not believe it.
Even the players loved it. Tristan Thompson was getting over to him. J.R. Smith was getting over. They were hugging him.
They were mobbing him. He was just like, yep, yeah, thanks, guys.
There's an AC/DC being played.
I'm just a small Aussie from Maribor. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the love. And then he was mobbed. The Cavs players that were obviously there during his time must really appreciate having Matthew Dellavedova back in Cleveland. And what happened? What was the deal between Milwaukee and Cleveland to have Dally back in the Cavs uniform?
So the Cavs traded away Hill and Decker to Milwaukee for Dally and Henson, who's currently hurt, along with a 2021 first and second round pick. Win-win deal for both teams, really. The Bucks wanted to clear some cash, and they also get a player in Hill who can contribute straight away off the bench, backing up Bledsoe predominantly. Might play some time at the two as well, backing up Brogdon. For the Cavs, they pick up a first and second round pick in the future, get back a favorite kid in Dally. And also Henson, once he gets healthy, is probably a trade trip for them. They've got Tristan Thompson playing pretty well at the moment. They've obviously invested in Larry Nance Jr., who they picked up last year. So I think he's unlikely to play much time in Cleveland. Maybe he gets healthy, plays a couple of games, and they look to move him. Milwaukee save a lot of cash because Hill has a non-guaranteed deal. Of course, Dally and Henson both still have money moving forward. Now, my big question is, I have one piece of memorabilia from Australian basketballers. There is only one thing I have signed from an Australian basketballer. It is a bag of Matthew Dellavedova G'day Mate coffee made in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know if there's a new strand being made. Because I did have a chat to him the last time I saw him. It would have been about half a year ago. And he said, we're thinking about making a new one. Now he's back in Cleveland. Hopefully the wheels are grinding, no pun intended. And we're getting a new strain. And I need him to come back out and sign it for me. Get back into the State Basketball Center and sign one for me.
I just heard that you just want to know whether there was, Cleveland coffee. I thought you were in the I Just Wanna segment saying that Cleveland G'day Mate 2.0 coffee beans, thanks to the man himself, Matthew Dellavedova. We're going to have to tweet him or something and say, mate, where's G'day Mate 2.0 and send some down to PNR Pod, because we want to roast only the best coffee beans from Cleveland. Very interesting. Coffee beans. Who would have thought memorabilia could be seen in coffee beans?
Also, I have an open mind, so if anyone's tasted it, let me know how it tastes.
Well, it's like fine wine or alcohol. You know, the more you leave it sitting there, the more expensive it will get, especially when it's signed by Matthew Dellavedova. But there you go. We wish him well back in Cleveland in the number 18. Hey, Xavier Cooks, 6'8" guard forward, currently plying his trade in Europe with Oliver Wurzburg in the German Bundesliga. 23-year-old from Ballarat in Victoria. Former Winthrop graduate, currently playing in his first professional year. Spent some time with the Golden State Warriors this past summer league. It's a name to remember because he had a big game and could have a big season in his first and debut professional season.
Yeah, 19 points on 8 of 9 from the field in a defeat over Eisbären Bremerhaven.
I like that.
How do you reckon I went there? A tight win, 87-85, so all his points, very strong contribution there from Xavier Cooks. Noticed him a little bit in summer league, didn't get too much run with the Warriors, but if he can contribute pretty well in the German Bundesliga at 23 years old, he's probably got a strong future, especially in the Europe or NBL setting for the next 8, 9, 10 years.
And if you want any more info on some of the European ballers flying the Aussie flag, head to pickandroll.com.au. Hey, I noticed that Brock Modem was used sparingly off the bench for his team as he's playing his trade in Europe. Only 7 minutes for a handful of points could be very handy in the NBL next season, don't you think?
Yeah, he'd be one of the key guys I'd be looking to get in, especially if I was, hint, hint, a new NBL franchise.
Very nicely done. Hey, let's go to the college scene. NCAA men, Cameron Healy is a name to put into the memory bank. One of the most eye-catching Australians in Division One basketball season. Cam Healy, freshman guard, a youthful prodigy out of Albany, and he has some much-needed scoring punch.
Yeah, he's been named the America East Conference Player of the Week. After averaging 23 points against his 2 games, Albany have unfortunately only won 2 of their 8 games to date, but he's showed some strong play and is someone to look out for moving forward.
And on the other side of things, the NCAA women, Arlise Hurst, set a New Mexico scoring record just over a week ago.
Yeah, great outside shooting guard. Former Bendigo Spirit WNBL maybe development player and also a Vic Country / Victoria rep before venturing over to college. Broke a scoring record for New Mexico, dropping a high 39 points, including 9 triples in their win over Oklahoma. So started off real hot in her debut in college and look for her to make a strong push moving forward and probably as a long-term pro back in the WNBL for many years once she gets back to Australia.
Couple of names to store in the memory bank for the future over in America playing NCAA college basketball. Hey, just quickly before we move to, I just want to touch on mention Australian Schools Championships had just concluded at the State Basketball Centre in Melbourne, Victoria. Basketball Australia ran a great tournament, Australian Schools Championships. If you had have been there, let us know what it was like because I'm sure it's successful each and every year and there's plenty of talented high schoolers to keep your eyes on. Would you agree?
Yeah, of course. And also a couple of high schools over in America right now. I saw Box Hill got to hang out with Ben Simmons, his old school post-game.
Nice.
He came out of the rooms and took some photos and hung with the kids on the court post-game, which is great. And also there was a high-performance Victoria tour that has gone over, and they hung out with Ryan Brockhoff after the Dallas game. So great for all those kids getting those experiences and meeting their heroes.
Just speaking of Ryan Brockhoff, we've been told that he's expecting his first child, so congratulations to the Brockhoffs.
Pretty big year for him
and
the family.
Yeah, congrats to them. Straight into it, I just wanna. I just wanna. I just want to, well, Craig's already dropped one in the podcast today. We're not even in
accidental.
We weren't even in the segment yet, and he dropped one about Cleveland Delavadova coffee. He wanted to know if we're getting G'day Mate 2.0, so great way to start it off. But you got another one for us, Craig.
Yeah, I just want to see the legend that is Red Panda perform at halftime of an NBL or WNBL game.
Now,
if you've never seen Red Panda in action, jump on YouTube right now. The only time we'll allow you to pause the podcast. Actually, I'll just break for about 5 seconds. You can search it. Okay, I hope you've jumped on by now. She is incredible. One of the most entertaining halftime acts you'll ever see. Has been doing it for years in the NBA. A massive draw. Everyone loves her over there. Get her down for an NBL or WNBL game and get her on at halftime. It will be brilliant. The crowd will love it.
Cult following does Red Panda have? Hey, I'll tell you, may not be an NBL or WNBL game, but what about the Australia versus the USA games? Red Panda at halftime, what do you think?
Oh, that would be absolutely brilliant. That is perfect.
Because I'm sure she's an expensive commodity, and I'm not sure if any NBL or WNBL franchises will have the funds. But
surely she'd love a trip to Australia, though.
But for a once-off, or for a twice-off, I should say, because they play twice, Red Panda, Marvel Stadium, August 2019, Australia and the USA, and the main event is Red Panda. The main event isn't the game anymore. Red Panda makes it.
Maybe we can expand. I know they were planning on putting seats around the field.
Yes.
Clear it out. Give the whole grass area to Red Panda throughout the whole game. Two entertainments going on at once.
There you go. If you've got your best I Just Wanters, use hashtag PNRPod and we'll make sure we get all of them onto the podcast. Moving forward, So Funky. Don't feel funky. Well, there's one So Funky or something quirky that I picked up throughout the week. The Sydney Kings obviously had to travel to New Zealand to face the Breakers. They landed in Auckland Airport. And shortly after they landed, there was an evacuation. So certain patrons or passengers who had already cleared customs, tried to pick up their bags, may not have picked up their bags. They were out. They had to be evacuated. Unfortunately for the Sydney Kings, they hadn't gone through immigration or customs yet, so they were forced to just stay in the arrivals lounge. And of course, you know, 7 foot players, 6 foot five players, 6 foot seven, the big guys and their team, they're all together. You know, you could probably last half an hour maybe together and do some team bonding and think, yep, okay, this is fine. Everyone's evacuated. We're here for half an hour. They'll get it sorted and we'll get out. It's fine. Well, an hour went by and we got some Instagram updates and some Instagram stories, some tweets from, you know, digital and comms at Sydney Kings, and Andrew Bogut started tweeting.
Bogut's the best.
Well, Bogut may as well be the Sydney Kings official
Sorry,
Twitter
account.
Sorry,
we just got someone out of a job there. But sign him up.
2 hours went by. 3 hours went by. And just remember, this is probably 8 or 9 o'clock Auckland time. They've got a game 2 o'clock the next day. 4 hours went by. 5 hours and counting. I think they got out at about 11:30 p.m. and they just would have been drained. I'm surprised. And the most surprising thing is they rallied. They got out of Auckland Airport at about 11:30, got to the hotel, got some shut eye, came back out the next day, went to shoot around, won by a point. Hats off, Sydney Kings.
Were you sure they didn't get some nap time in?
I don't think so, because they had running commentary. They had Instagram stories where they were basically playing 10-pin bowling with a one ball and one water bottle. So they were playing 1-pin bowling. And team exercises were very much happening. And to get out of the airport at 11:30 and to play a 2 p.m. game the next day and win, hats off to you. But that, I found that a little bit quirky.
I've just got one question to finish off the pod, and we'll close on this note. Big question to you.
Here we go.
Does the top four change?
Perth, Melbourne. Who's third?
Sydney, Brisbane.
Sydney, Brisbane. I've just spoken about Sydney for the last 8 minutes and forgot about them already. Perth, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane. Adelaide are the ones that are sitting outside. Ooh. It would be very, very harsh of me to say that Adelaide missed the playoffs under Joey Wright and his side. But Brisbane, we've just spoken about Brisbane for half the podcast, saying that they're the real deal. So, and one of the other three teams aren't missing out. They're even bigger the real deal. It's tough. I'm gonna stick with Adelaide and Joey Wright. I think they'll slide into the fourth spot, pending what type of import Brisbane bring in.
Yeah, I think the order doesn't change. I think it's first, second, third, fourth as it is.
I know you love your Brisbane Bullets, Craig. Brilliant to do another Pick and Pop podcast with you, the Deli podcast. Great to have your company. We hope to have it again next week on number 9. Who's number 9? We're going to have to work it out next week. We'll see you then.